honest, yes, it took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
I think we'll have to start with Ballymun, Conan. First title in 8 years. Doesn't sound like a long time, but considering the county players and all the All-Ireland medals, there's been a lot of focus on them since 2012. And what the hell is wrong with this team that they can't win it again? And I don't know their ability maybe to self-destruct in different years. There was no evidence of any of that yesterday. They were absolutely brilliant in the first half. It's as good a performance as you'll ever see against a brilliant Ballyboden team. Now, it has to be said, we're very flat on the day.
Definitely, but it is funny because I was coming into this game thinking, oh, I wonder will Ballymun be nervous? And then once you see them taken to the pitch and all these stars who have performed like some of the best man of the match performances in all Ireland finals and stuff like that, it's like no problem to them. And they just romped home like pure power all over the team, taking on men, shifting Ballyboden in the places they didn't want to be. James McCarthy gave Michael Darren-McCauley a runaround, and it was just a team on the front foot from the very off. And every time Ballyboden got a sighted goal, like, they were under so much pressure that they were scuffing it and slicing it. And yeah, it was just a dominant performance.
Very dominant. 14 points in the first half. Second half was a very scrappy affair. Ballymun didn't care about that. The damage had been done in the first half, and some of the football they kicked, some of the points they scored. I don't know, just a feature of that first half was how they moved the ball down the other end of the field. Really, really fast, often through the foot, took it on to Ballyboden, and because they were moving the ball so fast and not messing around with it, not going sideways, they were able to get a lot more space up front.
A lot more space up front, and then what that meant was a lot easier scores, especially like compared to what Ballyboden were being faced with. And because Ballyboden tried to run the ball a lot, and they were going laterally, and it was slower, like Ballymun were set up every single time Ballyboden came forward.
Yeah.
And they're set up really well. Like, you know, I think I talked before about, you know, these defensive lines, like when you have a straight line, if you can just break through one tackle, no matter how many people are there, you're through. But Ballymun always have these sort of staggered lines where people are behind somebody else. So when you look at that and you're a Ballyboden player, you're thinking, no chance, I'm not going in there. So they were just on the outside every time.
Yeah, no, exactly. Some people, you'd often wonder when you're watching a match, how come they're always facing, you know, a more defensive kind of team than on the other side? And it's down to how slow your build-up play is. I'm convinced of this. I say it all the time. Galway are a great example how they've changed it around this year under Pádraig Joyce. We mentioned that during the league. We'll see them again during the championship. The trend now with every team is to drift back with the ball. So if you're slow with your build-up, you're going to face maybe 12 men. If you're fast with it, the ball will be down there before the drift back, and you'll get one-on-ones. If you have conviction about your attack, yeah, you will get joy, and your forwards will love you for it.
And you can coach this very easily. We spoke about this before, where like you can just have a shot clock in training. Like, you know, where if you're not scoring within 10, 15 seconds, then it's free the other way, and that just creates urgency. And like, you're right, everybody's drifting back with the play, and it's also because everybody's a lot fitter. Like, if you're not drifting back and you're a half forward, you're being real lazy. Like, you can do it. You can go back 60 meters. So everybody's doing that now, and if you're going to let them do that, you're putting yourself under so much problem. And then obviously the byproduct of that is now there's 12 men just set up in front of you. Like, it just makes sense to go get the ball and go.
Go do it, yeah. And don't be afraid of making a mistake. They destroyed Mark McNamee's kickouts. Mark McNamee didn't have a great day. Like, in comparison to Evan Comerford, he was trying to go short, but giving it to fellas under pressure, whereas Evan Comerford was able to get off his short ones every single time. That's obviously different standard of goalkeeper there, and that's no disrespect to Mark McNamee. He also messed up on a Paddy Small point and was a bit panicked when he fisted away another one. He didn't have his best day, but he's a young player. I wouldn't be too harsh on him. Leon Young, clean Colin Baskell, who didn't look 100%. What about Michael Darren-McCauley's hit on John Small? He fell back on his legs. I thought he was knocked out.
Yeah, straight into the head as well. Look,
I don't think it was a dirty challenge, because Small had sidestepped his way back.
he had, and he'd sort of fallen into him as well. Like, you know, Michael Darren McCauley definitely didn't pull out of it, but Small didn't make it easy, and it was very interesting in the replay, and there was nothing like nothing to suggest that McCauley was going for his head, and he didn't lift his arm in any way, but like Small did well to bounce back up from it, because Jesus, he must have been rocked from the size of Michael Darren McCauley's arm.
Yeah, he's gone huge. He's gone absolutely huge. And I like the way James McCarthy came over and gave Michael Darren a couple of taps on the back, as in, don't worry about it. You know, there was nothing yeah. in that, you know, rather than come over and make a big deal. Nice to see a bit of respect out of inter-county teammates. John Small's hit on Conor Keeney, though. There's a picture doing the rounds. I tweeted it out. My God, did you see this tweet? Like, their faces look completely distorted from the impact of the hit. Not only did Small perfectly time the hit on Keeney, and Keeney's a monster of a man. He knocked him, he dislodged the ball, and then he collected the ball and ran out with it. Like, I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that for a hit on a Gaelic football or any GAA field.
The photo is incredible. I think it's a sports file photo, and like it looks like someone out of a Rocky film, you know, where it's fictional the way the faces are going. But like Small looks so thrilled to be involved in the shoulder. Like, I've never seen such dedication to a shoulder. Like, his two fists are clenched. He doesn't care about the ball at the stage. He's just given everything into connecting with Keeney's shoulder. Yeah. And like, geez, he did rock him as well. Like, it was amazing photo and an amazing piece of defensive work from Small.
No, it definitely was. One of the funniest tweets I saw yesterday was from Eamon McGee. He says, the Ballymodden number 9. You think Eamon, of course, would even know this lad's name. He doesn't. He says, the Ballymodden number 9 trying to scare James McCarthy is the funniest thing I've seen all day. Like, I mean, imagine going up, squaring up to James McCarthy, saying, all right, I'll get inside this fella's head now. I might try and intimidate him.
Big, big mistake from Declan O'Mahony, I think it was.
Declan O'Mahony, yeah.
Like, I haven't seen someone react to something like that with an instant step forward. You know, it wasn't as if...
Oh, yeah.
He didn't flinch. It wasn't like he refused to take a step back. He actually went forward. As soon as O'Mahony tried to do anything, McCarthy was well up for it. It was like, let's go, I'm ready. And actually, it was O'Mahony who took a step back in the end.
It was. Like, I mean, the obvious thing, and everybody will say it, is that this year, Ballymunkickham's got a full run with their county players. Now, you're talking about a goalkeeper who's understudy to Stephen Cluxton, and we know Evan Comerford is a very, very good goalkeeper, and how important they are, especially when you see, you know, the Ballyboden goalkeeper, Mark McNamee, not having a great day at the office and putting his team under pressure. I mean, Philly McMahon playing in his best position as a cornerback. John Small is best position centre halfback. James McCarthy is best positioned 100% at club level at centre forward, and the two inter-county forwards, Paddy Small and Dean Rock, in the full forward line. Like, I mean, they picked all their best players in their best positions. They had them all year, didn't have them coming back after winning an All-Ireland, where they are emotionally, physically and emotionally completely wasted. Mm. And this isn't an excuse for Ballymun every year. It's a genuine reason why they maybe don't hit the heights that we would expect them to hit, because that is not an ideal scenario for any club to have five inter-county of their best players that are vital to their performance not being at the pitch of where they should be, through no fault of their own.
No, I remember I watched highlights recently of the Ballymun Vincent's final, was it 2017, and beforehand, like, the commentators just talking about Paddy Small's got a hamstring injury, John Small's got a calf injury, and Philly McMahon's carrying a knock in there, for God's sake. Like, they finally have their team together, they're in the final, and they're all just carrying knocks. And that's it. We had Philly McMahon on a few weeks ago, or maybe a couple of months ago now, but he had said that point that you're talking about psychologically as well. Like, when those players come back in, they haven't been with them all year, but then they probably feel pressure to go and dominate matches, like, you know, and they're probably doing things that doesn't help the team because they're just trying to take it by the scruff of the neck and just trying too hard, almost, like, because they're the county players that need to be the stars, whereas when they're with them all year, they're just part of the team. Obviously, they're the best players, but it just fits more naturally, and that's what we're saying.
Well, I remember when, I've often said this on the show, when I finished playing with Laois, I could be a month before I want to start getting my head back in around, you know, fully committing and wanting to be the driving force for Port Laois, because you give up so much, your mind is obsessed with this for months, and the commitment levels are huge, even for me, who wouldn't have been the most committed fella, but the odd year I would have committed. You need a bit of downtime at the end of that. You need to get over that before you can start. The idea that you can just flick a switch and now completely change and say, right, I end, that's all ended.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to need a few weeks to get my mind right. And I'm going to go in now and try and drive this lad, these lads on when that's not where your head is at all. And they're expecting you to do it. It's a mess. And like this year absolutely has proved from Ballymun that, you know, having those lads all year, like, I mean, it was funny. Brendan Hackett was interviewed after the game and he says, Declan Small, that's John and Paddy's father who passed away this year. He said, when he interviewed me, we sat down to talk about the job. He said, look, the guys you see in July and August playing in Croke Park will be spent by the time they come back into you in September. You've got to bear that in mind. Like, I mean, imagine just warning a prospective manager, your five best lads, they'll be useless to you now for the first little while.
So what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. How are you going to handle this? Like, it is tough.
It is, and like what you're saying there as well, like you're coming back to a team as well. You need a month off yourself mentally, probably physically, and you're coming back to a team who this is all they've been thinking about for 9 months or 10 months. Like, you know, this is what they care about. You haven't even thought about it really for the best part of 9-10 months, and now suddenly you have to care as much as them as well and fit into what they're doing. It's tough.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt it was. So we mentioned all the county players, but one of their lesser known players, Fiac Andrews, was absolutely outstanding yesterday. He scored 4 from play. I spoke with his better known father, Val, a little bit earlier, and I said to him, he must be a proud father today.
Goes without saying, to be quite honest with you, but I'm more delighted for Fiac himself, because that's the culmination of 6 years or 7 years being on and off the team, having a lot of setbacks, not really making it, working really hard. And then he'd give it up, in fairness, to be honest. And it was great yesterday that all the work, the perseverance and the thing showed off. And I would have said to him, you might have won a medal yesterday, but like, in fairness, it was more testament to your character, your resilience and your perseverance.
Well, that's it, yeah. I think that's a fair point. And he was marking Robbie McDade. Like, you were watching on television. I'll get to that in a second. But Brendan Hackett was interviewed before the game, and it says, "Have you got a plan for Robbie McDade?" You know, he scored 1-1 in the semi-final. Did you know that Fiacre was going to be on him, or you never find any of this information out?
No, well, I don't talk to Fiacre the week of a game at all, because, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'll start to leave him alone, and I think it's worked really, really well. In terms of, I was talking to him this morning, and the plan was Fiacre would do his thing, right? But any time Robbie McDade is going forward, he was to pick him up. And that was the plan. And he was told from the beginning that McDade, when he goes forward, he's yours.
Right.
So maybe, you know what I mean? I'm sure Brendan won't mind me saying that today. Cool.
No. Well, it can't be found out today. It's too late for Ballyboden at this stage. Come here, you were watching on the TV like the rest of us. That must have been a weird feeling there.
Ah, yeah, Colin, unreal, you know what I mean, sort of pacing the thing, smoking about 40 cigarettes, you know what I mean, climbing the walls, didn't sleep the night beforehand. Well, he says it'd be great, now I'll sleep last night. Sure, I didn't sleep last night either, because you were thinking about the game, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when you have a son or people playing, like, it is for parents, like, you just want to do themselves justice, and yesterday was one of those days where it all worked out absolutely perfectly.
Yeah, it definitely did. Like, I mean, I suppose even seeing the two small brothers, like, I'm not a Ballymun man.
Oh, stop, heartbreaking. So, I mean, look at Declan, their dad was you know what I mean? Like, and we would have crossed swords a lot of the time, but he was, you know, at the end of the day, we both wanted the same thing, what we seen yesterday. Like, and the smalls have been through a long illness and, in fairness, you know what I mean, a big journey, like, in terms of sickness and a tragic death. Of a young man, and you saw the outpouring of emotions. And look at grief, and I hope don't wish it on anybody. Grief is a very personal, difficult, spiritual, and emotional journey. And you know what I mean? All the great occasions you'll have after a death tend to be tinged with a sadness, you know what I mean? That's right, yeah. Because of the heightened emotions. And look at, they have a wonderful photograph there, and they have a wonderful mother in Andrea, and a wonderful sister as well, who should be remembered as well. But look at, just like me brother, the last three chairmen are up there, Tom O'Donoghue, Sean, me brother, and Declan, you know what I mean? And I always say, Colm, now, in a philosophical way, I say, what would they want us to be doing? Like, they would want us to be going around with a smile on our face and enjoying today, do you know what I mean? Because they'd be delighted if they were here.
Yeah, because like you're like I was calling you like it's like Laois versus Dublin in Croke Park, Ballymun taking on the likes of Ballyboden and Kilmacook Club, based off the size of the club. Like you're a very small club in terms of Dublin, like, and you continually bat above your weight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, this all stems even from Andrew McCall and Jerry McCall's dad, Cyril McCall, a mad Monaghan man, you know what I mean, who started street leagues way back in 1967 or 68, you know what I mean? And, like, that, like, just a fanatical football man. And that was the basis of the first team that won the minor championship, the first championship in 1977, and went on to the great team of the 80s. And that built up a bit of a tradition. And we are a very small club, like, and we are a very... But our big competitive advantage is that we're just a football club, Colin. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. We don't do anything else, like. It's well, just football. True. So we get twice as much football as a dual club players.
Yeah.
So it is, you know...
We were looking last Thursday. Ballyboden field 172 teams. Croke's field 160 and have 5,000 members. Like, I think Ballymun have, you know, maybe 300 playing members and maybe 400 or 500.
Yeah, but you see, like, the problem is, and I don't want to be critical of Ballyboden or Kilmacouders, that they're too big. And when you have a load of resources and a load of players, right, and you know from your playing days, right, that expectations, so they go A, B, C, D. They could have four teams. And if you start labelling people, you're a D player, everybody in the club starts saying, well, he's only on the Bs or the Ds. Like, so the sort of people don't come through and they drop off, you know what I mean? Whereas in Ballymun, we can't afford people to be leaving. Do you know what I mean? We have to try to field teams. And underage, we struggle. You know, when we get to 16, like, we're starting nearly pulling fellas from under, you know, the year under to make up teams, like, all the time, like, because, and that's the thing. We've one team at every age group, and when we get to 16, we're sort of doubling up, and that's the way it has been, and, you know, but, like, there's a tradition now, you see, like, you know what I mean? I mean, look at the amount of medals, a lot of medals in Ballymun. It's nearly ridiculous, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know, it definitely is. There's no, like, I mean, but that obviously added to the frustration that you weren't able to get over the line.
Yeah, well, look, Colin, I'll be straight with you, and I know the lads would have thought this as well, you know. Like, I said, this is a joke, like. I mean, this is the most underachieving team going, like, they'd lost a good few finals. They've been beaten by Vincent's, you know, we've lost finals. And you're there and you're watching them last yesterday. I said it yesterday, man. I says, we have to win this one. We just have to win this because this team doesn't deserve with that talent to be classed as sort of thing. But it, like, in fairness, they did show their character by winning it yesterday with such aplomb and brilliance. And that's the type of thing. If I was to give one picture, that is what Ballymun's about. That was the team of the 80s nearly playing yesterday. Free-flowing, give her a lash, play the game in a good spirit, horse into it, don't get involved, keep your discipline. Hugely proud today. They're magnificent. And James McCarthy is one of the greatest, most effective footballers in the last generation, without question. And not alone is he great on the pitch, but his magnificence and his compassion and empathy for the smalls by calling them up to lift the cup is a true statement about the man.
Yeah, no, that was lovely. That was absolutely lovely. It must give you a lot of pride as well, considering that you're a small club and a family club. Like Brendan Hackett said after the game, that there's very much a family feel about it. I could name the names to you, the Leahys, the McCalls, the Rocks, the Andrews. Like, you had no outsider playing. And a feature, I've given out about this for ages, Val, a feature of a lot of the Dublin clubs, probably because my own club, Portlaoise, hasn't been able to beat them, they'd always have a few bangers on the team. And you're like, geez, that's hardly figured out. That's hardly fair. They're strong enough. Ballymun had no outsiders. Only James Burke from Mayo, and he's been there since he was 18. And he didn't start.
He didn't play. No, and to be honest, Colm, your observation is completely right. I was trying to figure out who was the last team to win a Dublin championship with just their own players. And I'll ask you that one too, because I don't really know. I'm nearly going back to Erdens Oil.
Yeah, that's you know what I mean. Because
I think that's roughly where it's at. In terms of, and I can see it from the Portlaoise point of view. Well, to be honest, I was never fond of Portlaoise because in 1982, he's better than the Leinster final. But to be honest, Portlaoise have a savage record in Leinster. Like, I mean, they did, like, you know, and they have to be admired. But, Like Colin, let's be straight about it. Yeah, you'd say like most teams do have two or three imports. I mean, and that's the way it has been. When we had nobody yesterday, and that makes it all the more special.
Yeah, it definitely does. What about Ballymun's ability to self-destruct? We saw none of that evidence. I didn't feel safe until there was about 5 minutes left. And how are they going to manage to throw this away?
Yeah, we have a self-sabotage button, all right. Yeah. You know, look at the shape and the discipline, and you know what I mean? Like, we learned from the semi-final. Do you know what I mean? Like, and there was one or two hard hits put in by Ballyboden, and it didn't end up in, you know what I mean, a little bit of an owl fucking melee. Like, you know what I mean? We kept our shape and kept our discipline, and that was brilliant. And that's what we're about. You know what I mean? Let's get this straight. Like, Ballymun are about trying to play really, really nice football. Like, you know what I mean? And the team culture and the spirit is huge there. Like, and I hate to, it's down to Brendan Hackett, and it's down to James, the leader. You know what I mean? The head wolf. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. He's the man.
Yeah. Do we give a shout out to Simon Lawler, a friend of mine? Like, I mean,
No. Because if you give him a mention, he'd be insufferable for about 2 weeks. Like, it'll be bad enough. Like,
he thinks his fingerprints are all over that win yesterday. Well, I told him that.
Whether his fingerprints are over or not, Colin, like, he's going to claim it anyway.
There's no doubt about that. Come here, Val. Thanks very much for taking the call. I appreciate it.
Come here, Willie. You're always a good crack. Look, slot.
Yeah, great stuff from Val there. The other huge surprise yesterday, Conan, was obviously Mount Bellew My Loch knocking out Cora Finn. So Cora Finn had gone 49 games unbeaten, and I immediately thought of the Invincibles Arsenal losing to Manchester United in Old Trafford when I was looking at this, being the staunch GA man that I am, and I'm thinking immediately of a soccer analogy. It was Wayne Rooney's late goal that day, put the icing on the cake for that win. But that was it. So they've been beaten the last six years by Cora Finn. Like, I mean, they have a new manager this year, Val Daly, the legend that is Val Daly, double All-Star, and is John and Michael's father. And we know Mount Bellew My Loch's kind of tactics against Cora Finn for the last few years have been, you know, go very, very defensive, and it's almost worked. Mm. But Val is, you know, while not changing them dramatically, not doing a poor choice on it, but definitely there has been an obvious change in trying to attack a little bit more, and it definitely paid dividends for them then.
That's it. Like, we were saying this last week about how you have to attack now in football. Like, you have to score. Michael Murphy said that about Dublin at the start of this year. Like, you know, you can't beat them without scoring. I think it was 219 or something that he gave. And like, when you're playing Cora Finn, the best club team in Ireland, how can you beat them without scoring more than them? And like, yes, obviously you want to sort of watch everything they have, but it's all useless if you're not getting the most out of Owen Finnerty and Barry McHugh. And like, the two of them got 11 points between them yesterday, so that's obviously a perfect balance that they hit.
Owen Finnerty got 6 from play, and I've been trying to find out this morning, was it off Liam Silk that he got them off? But I haven't got it confirmed yet, because he was full forward, Liam Silk was picked full back, but we don't know because we didn't exactly see the game and I couldn't find it out. But Owen Finnerty is interesting. I actually thought it was Robert Finnerty who broke onto the county panel this year. His father is Anthony Finnerty, but it's not. This is Owen Finnerty, and he's about 24. He's been unlucky with injuries the past few seasons, and he's been in and off the county squad. So, like, he's meant to be a really, really good player. And like we said, Michael Daly, he plays midfield, and Barry McHugh, like you just mentioned. So they're a good team. And there's something a little bit exciting about seeing what Mount Bellew My Loch are. We've seen Cora Finn for so long, and they don't hammer Mount Bellew My Loch. They didn't hammer Tuam Stars. They could have been beaten by both of them in recent years. And wouldn't it be nice to see how good these teams are, that they just haven't been able to get over the line against the best club team in history?
Like, yeah, if the All-Ireland or the Provincial Series was still in play, like, you know, how far would they now go on?
Because yeah,
I remember, like, this is what started Slochneil's surge, because they had only won one Derry title before, but then they won it in 2014, and Ballanderry had just won the Ulster the year before. Slochneil had now won Derry, beat Ballanderry in the final. So obviously, when you beat the Ulster champions, you're thinking, well, let's kick on. They won Ulster, they got to the All-Ireland final, and like, you know, the rest is history. So Mount Bellew My Loch beating Cora Finn, like, they would now be thinking, yeah, we're up there. We've just beaten the best club side in Ireland. Remember, the last team to beat them was Dr. Crokes back in 2017. So, yeah, you know, it is, as you say, it's interesting to see what can become of them.
Yeah, they now face Mike Cullen, who beat Shum Stars. That would have been a bit of a surprise probably in the other semi-final. It's Mike Cullen's first final since 1977. So it's a novel final. Be nice to see that one on television. In the intermediate final, Cortoon beat Dunmore. This is Derek Savage's club, Cortoon. He's not playing anymore. But the big controversy last week was all about Adrian Varley. And the Galway County Board did a number on Adrian Varley, really. Like, I mean, he had been told that one of his students in school had tested positive. He was seen as a close contact. He tested negative, but still was told he had to self-isolate for 14 days. And the Galway County Board fixed the game on the 11th of the 14 days where he had to self-isolate. Now, I have to say, only maybe Adrian Varley, because he's a school teacher, had to do things by the book. You have a negative test and you're 11 days without any symptoms. You're grand. What are you doing? Go out and play the bloody game. Like, Christ, that's a bit too much for me now. But at the same time, Cortoon still won. So it was nice to see. I think a lot of neutrals, because Dunmore wouldn't agree to change the game a little bit longer. So it was nice to see them getting their comeuppance, I suppose.
Yeah. And like, what was it, the 30th he was supposed to be back?
Yeah.
That would have been 14 days. And I didn't realize he was the captain of the team as well. Like, so that probably really, really stung all of them. And the fact that they put the game back initially, it's like,
yeah,
what are you putting it back for if he can't play anyway? So they could have just done it on a Wednesday night. I think that was the statement that they put out. They said we expected it to be on the 30th, but yeah, no, it's good to see them in the final.
It is. East Kerry won easily again. I'm not too sure I can get on this East Kerry kind of, you know, domination. Like, I saw a quote from Paul Murphy after the game. This wasn't on the radar. In an ideal world, we, Rathmore, would have liked to play senior. Once this became a reality, all the Rathmore guys involved went at it 100%. So, like, I mean, there's six Rathmore lads joined East Kerry who had won the county title. So six more players from a club that had just come down from senior. Like, there is an element of this just not being fair, if we're being honest, Conan. Like, I mean, how many are East Kerry going to win at this rate? They look way too strong. Paul Murphy is saying something like, in an ideal world, I wouldn't even be playing with the, you know, do we just leave it to the junior clubs? Because Kerry only have 12 senior teams. You're looking at a team that could be 13th in line in the Kerry Championship, now going back to bump up East Kerry with a whole load more teams.
Yeah, or like, you maybe not leave it to the junior clubs, but if you've just come down and you can't play.
Yeah, you have to be intermediate 2 or 3 years maybe or something, like,
yeah,
you know.
Be an intermediate club. But East Kerry are the champions, and then they're just adding on a big senior club to them with a lot of good players. And you go through the team and it's just like, this is like a super club almost. Like, you know, it's just the spine they have is frightening. The amount of selection they have, the people they're bringing off the bench, it's a... As you say, it's hard to get on board with. I can't see them being one of your picks for a while, but then that's
no.
Why we keep winning.
That's why they keep winning. David Clifford's goal. Jesus, like, I mean, what kind of a bullet? What's wrong with this fella? Off his weaker foot from 21 metres out, and he sticks it in top corner to the point where, like, watching the goalkeeper, he didn't even put his hand up. That's how fast this bullet from the 21-yard line off his weaker foot into the top corner. Now, he looked like a very small goalkeeper. There's no way he was getting up to it. But at the same time, just when you watch the goalkeeper, his reaction, he didn't even move. Maybe it was the shock. He's hardly shooting from there. Yeah. You know, that, and then the speed of the rocket. That this David Clifford, he's a freak. I'm telling you, I've said it loads of times. When he's finished playing, we'll talk about him, like, at the things that we'll have seen him doing like no other player.
I think so. Well, has he already won 2 All-Stars in 2 years? Like, it'd be hard to see him perform in a year where he's not up at All-Star standard. Do you know, he's just incredible. And you're right, like, the keeper, somebody had tweeted me to say, oh, you know, the keeper didn't do too well. It's like, give me a break. Like, how would the keeper have seen that? Like, the power he put on it with his right foot and the accuracy, it's straight off the post he stumped. He saw the net, like the bottom of the net, rattle. And, like, he's taking it on the turn. And it's just bang, it's past the keeper with such accuracy. Like, I think we can forgive the keeper there for being completely shocked, as you say.
Yeah, no, definitely we can. Absolute heartbreak for Loughmore Castellini. Geez, I feel very bad for these fellas. They were beaten by a last minute point by Clonmel Commercials. We all know last week they lost to a last minute goal, or the last puck of the game goal in extra time in the Hurling County Final. They were a pint up, and Killadangan won it with the very last puck of the game. and scored a goal. Loughmore then come into the football final the week after. They're 6 points down at halftime. Loughmore Castellani are not going to throw in the towel. They get it back to a draw. And then a last minute of normal time point loses it for them. Like, I cannot even... And we know that it's practically the same. The two teams are almost identical, bar two or three different players. So, like, I mean, Jesus, I don't know, Conan, to lose one, to lose two in 2 weeks, senior county finals, just absolute heartbreak, especially when these fellas would have been dreaming of a double, one that they've done before, and they end up with nothing.
Yeah, and there's a picture of Noel McGrath being comforted by the manager, Frankie McGrath, and, like, it's honestly heartbreaking. You can just tell that he's going through that of having lost both of them in a week and such a... such tough circumstances. Like, he looks inconsolable. He's just, his face is in his hands. The manager's bending down over the top of him and just grabbing him tightly. It's honestly, your heart would go out. And then when I saw the Michael Quinn Living goal and him just carrying the ball from 65 meters down the wing and the whole way in, you talk about Kev McMenamin against Skerries. Like, this is more impressive, I'd say. And when it's a 1 point game, it's like, what a differentiator.
Oh, you saw that goal? I didn't see that goal.
And so, you see, initially I thought it was an old clip because of these old Offaly jerseys that they were wearing, Clonmel commercials. But, it's the ball goes into midfield. I think it's a kick out. And it gets broken down. Someone just fists it to Michael Quinlivan, and he's 65 metres out on the right-hand side. And he just blazes a trail. Somebody's following him and doing really well, but he just can't keep up with him. And Quinlivan just cuts inside, and he sort of, with the top of his foot, just puts it into the near right-hand post.
Right, very good. Well, listen, we know what Michael Quinlivan can do, and he's only back. Like, he wouldn't have been playing this year in a normal year, wouldn't he? Not he would have been. He would have been away. I'm fairly sure, wasn't it? This year he was gone only for the coronavirus. He was definitely gone. The Cavan County final was a great match on Saturday night. This ended in a draw. You called Pádraig Faulkner scoring a goal, Colin. I have to say, like, I mean, that was an outstanding piece of analysis last Thursday.
I was actually hoping that Willie would bring this up so I wouldn't have to bring it up myself. But like, the body language of him was great. Like, he was wearing number 14 playing around the middle, but gee, he looked like a proper forward just the way he took up the defender's position. And nice finish if he's left into the top corner as well. Like, that's what we come to expect from both Pádraig Faulkner and my analysis, I suppose.
It definitely is. Listen, Pádraig Faulkner is to forward play what your analysis is here. Listen, you can set your clock by it. This, again, we kind of keep the same theme of the way Gaelic football is going. And 3 or 4 years ago, the Cavan County final would be you wouldn't be watching it unless you were paid to watch it. Like, this was a great lively game where one team takes a lead, the other team pegs them back, gets ahead, and then we have the late equaliser by Mark Stewart. Kind of, you know, the excitement's at fever pitch at that stage, and it's a little lob ball which seems to be hanging in the air for an eternity as two men run in different directions to gather it. And it's like, whoever gets to this a split second before the other, either this is being caught and a man's tearing out the field with it, or it's being caught the other way and a man could kick a point with it.
Like, I have to say, I was almost disappointed with Kingscourt because they came from 7 down after, like, what, 20-odd minutes, 6 down in the second half, and then they were ahead. They should have won that ball from the kick-out initially, but they were a bit sloppy with it. The tackling was a bit lackadaisical. I was like, there's, like, 10 seconds left. Like, just foul somebody or something. And as you say, a lob ball, the two men going for it, neither of them ended up getting it. It was cut out by the midfielder who just went charging through. Great equaliser in the end, but I just... Kingscourt, to get themselves into that position, I thought they would have seen it out, especially after so long of not winning.
Yeah, and the draw, like, I mean, I don't know, were the Cavan County board listening to the show last week, Conan, but, like, I mean, a replay is fair now. These two teams, it's affecting no other teams. The only person would be Mickey Graham kind of saying, geez, I don't have these lads for another week. Is another week the end of the world, you know, in the bigger scheme of things? And is it better next week, go to penalties, whatever way you want? But, like, I mean, we're still in September. Other counties are having county finals on the 4th of October. That's why my argument with the Tyrone County final, would have been the end of the world for Mickey Hart if now he had every one of his players this week rather than last week? I don't think so.
You're probably right, because I think I said that about Mickey Hart last week, and then I thought about it, like, you would be preparing for a county final for another week, you know, and playing against a team at your level for another game. So, like, what harm is that? You'd be coming into training sharper than other people. You've just played two county finals. And, like, as you say, it's the fairest way of doing it. I do think if there's no... no winner after a replay, then it has to be done. But especially in this year as well, like, it's an extra week of football for everybody and another day out for everybody in Cavan to go and watch.
Yeah, and another payday for the county board through the subscription channel. You know, they're not going to make too many with the 200 at the game, but, you know, they're starting to make a little bit more from the subscription, so they could, you know, it could be an extra few quid for them as well. But anyways, you know, Cavan County Board definitely, I think, have made the right decision there. In Loudnave, Martin beat RD St Mary's. This is the first ever county championship for Nave Martin. They lost the last two finals to Newtown Blues. So, like, I mean, imagine the pressure they were going on into today's match, right? So Newtown Blues would be the biggest, probably the biggest team in Loud, and they lost two finals. They'd never won it before. Imagine losing three finals, having never won it before. You're getting to a stage where you're complete losers at that stage then, and your heads will completely be gone. So, like, I mean, they were under a lot of pressure, especially because they lost the Newtown Blues by only a point 2 years ago and only by a goal last year. So they've been close enough, but, like, I mean, still not able to get over the line. But they did yesterday. So congratulations to them, Nave Martin. JP Rooney came on for them, Conan. I don't know if you remember much about JP Rooney. I says, Jesus, JP Rooney came on in the 48th minute. That lad must be as old as me. And so I went to check it. He was born in 1979. He's 1 year younger than me, so he's 41. Winning his first ever county title for his club ever, and hung around. He's, you know, he's just clearly that determined that we can do this. I'll wait till I'm 51, lads. Just win it. We have to win it soon.
Well, that's it. Like, especially when the team's coming and you can tell that they're there, you don't want to be leaving and knowing that they could win it the year that you go. So 41, so 1 year younger than you, 10 years younger than Conal Keenan.
A fair play to Keeney. He started the game brilliantly as well. Like, he kicked two, and he was, Ballymun made that change. Philly had been on him, and Keeney was giving Philly all he wanted of it until they switched cornerbacks, and then they were able to tighten it up a little bit. Then Ballymun probably took it over at that stage. In Westmeath, St Lomans, there are loads of county finals, so I can't really mention anything outside the county finals, and we don't really have time to go into detail on all of them, and we haven't seen enough of them anyways. But St Lomans beat Terrell's Pass after extra time. Again, extra time. There's never been a club championship like this. It's just unbelievable. So St Lomans, by far the better team in this game. Terrell's Pass got goals. Then you're coming into extra time, and Tyrrell's Pass get a goal against the run of play. Lomans, the better team, to go a point up, and looks like they're going to snatch it. And St. Lomans get a free way out on the left-hand side. John Heslin standing over the free. Now, he robs a few yards, you'd have to say. There's definitely a bit of trash talking going on to John Heslin before he takes this free, because I haven't seen John Heslin do this before. John Heslin took the free. I don't know, have you seen this? I had been doing the rounds. John Heslin took the free, and the minute he left his boot, he put his two hands up in the air. He knew this was going over, and because it was from a tight angle, and he walked straight up to the fella who had been in front of him and let him know that ball's gone over the bar. So it was all going on, and then Lomans won it in extra time. So there you go.
That's amazing, actually, because I was telling Connor last week after he lost the intermediate final that I had a dream that night after he had lost that they lost, but John Heslin was playing for the other team, and he had scored a last minute free, and I was consoling Connor afterwards, going, well, sure, what do you expect? John Heslin was playing and stuff. So it's great to see that, but as the ball's hanging in the air as well, just that confidence of knowing, like, what do you think about that? Listen to the roar here now as it drops over.
Yeah. It must be an unbelievable final. Derry Gonnelly trying to win six in a row for Manna. Big, huge upset there. Derny won the title for the first time in 52 years. Am I pronouncing that club right, Conan?
You asking me? Yeah, I'd say you are. Ederny.
Ederny, yeah. St. Joseph's Ederny beat Derry Gonnelly. We know how good Derry Gonnelly are. They did really well in the Ulster Club a couple of years, especially last year. So, like, I mean, the Ederny must be a decent club team. I don't know too much about that game because I didn't see it. In Wexford, the Shelmaliers are finally out, Conan. I can finally make the statement now after making it incorrectly a few weeks ago. That split season doesn't work, Conan. The Shelmaliers are out. You can't do it.
It's like 8 weeks later. Like, yeah, it might be this week, but that's going to catch up on them, I'll tell you.
You can't do the split. Just go on alternate weekends. Like, I don't let these things go. I've been looking out for Shelmaliers ever since, especially when I made a balls of it and thought they were out a few weeks ago. They were beaten by Starlights. And interestingly, their fullback in hurling, Liam Ryan, you'd say he might be even an attacking fullback at this stage, the way Wexford hurlers are playing. He scored two goals. I tell you, it's a great dual county because St. Martin's were in the other semi-final. They lost to the Castletown. It was Rory O'Connor sticking over points for them. Like, they are really a good dual county, Wexford, when you see other counties kind of, you know, players sticking to one code or the other. So that was that's the only semi-finals we're covering here. Everything else has been county finals, and I hope we haven't left too many out, because there's just so much to cover. Before we go, a big shout out to the Portlaoise ladies team, who won their first ever county title. That might sound hard for you to believe, Conan, considering how dominant the men have been. They never won the county title before, and they beat Sarsfields, who were going for 8 in a row. And they've been closing the gap. They lost a couple of finals to Sarsfields. They've been closing the gap. They beat them in the group phase this year, and then go again and beat them in a county final. So outstanding stuff from the Portlaoise ladies. Aisling Cleo scored 1-3. Big shout out to my cousin and godchild, Fiona Dooley, who mans the midfield, Conan, for Portlaoise ladies. She'd be a daughter now of Mick Dooley, who was a legendary player for Portlaoise as well. I'm really getting the shout outs into the show here.
Is she a similar player to you, or what's the story?
Similar player, no, more of a midfielder. Like, I mean, I wouldn't say she's a similar player to me, but definitely a good player and one of the most important players on that team, definitely, since she started playing. So fantastic stuff from Portlaoise ladies, and now go on and win maybe their 8 in a row or 10 in a row, which the men couldn't do. Right, we'll leave it there, Conan, and we'll come back with the hurling. And Brian Carroll, you're out of here.
All these changes were brought around to help the clubs, as Robert said, and the solution that he came up with was to play more inter-county matches.
I suppose you have no hurling in your hand, you have to kick it. So I don't know what I was doing trying to kick hurling.
I tell you, there were a lot of people would have been happy if I took that ball and fucking slammed it. I just got it.
Hurling second this week, Brian, probably because there was only a few, kind of a handful of games in comparison to football. I'm running out of things to say about Ballyhale Shamrocks. It's like Carl Finn in the football. What else can we add to anything that has been said before? It's getting freaky now, what they scored yesterday and the kind of demolition of like a good, solid team in Kilkenny, albeit they didn't show up in the day.
Yeah, they weren't let show up in the day, to be fair. Like, oh, just, you're right. Like, what do you say about Ballyhale? They're just phenomenal. And to think they did that yesterday and all year without Michael Fennelly retiring, obviously, and then Adrian Mullen out injured.
Yeah.
Michael Fennelly retiring has probably given a new lease of life to Richie Reid. He has been outstanding.
Brilliant, yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of their games have been shown on TG Carter, so you've seen them a couple of times, or, you know, you can see the links, obviously. I think he's been excellent. He has to be an option for Brian Cody on that half-back line for Kilkenny at the moment. Like, his athleticism is second to none. His fielding ability is excellent as well. And he's striking, particularly off his left side. You know, and being a keeper, obviously, he has a good long poke of the ball. So, look, he has all the attributes to slot into that half-back line. I'm not sure about the centre-back role, but you never know. Look, he's definitely good enough to play on that half-back line for Kilkenny at the moment.
Well, if you're doing a comparison between the two centre-half-backs yesterday, you would think Reid is the inter-county player and Buckley is the club player. Like, I mean, has he ever been in with the county?
He's in there as sub-keeper. So,
oh, he's, you know, in as a sub-keeper?
Yeah. So, like, that's one thing that Kilkenny try to do, you know what I mean? They might have an option of him coming out the field as well.
Right.
So yeah, look, it's certainly an option that I think they should be pursuing in terms of seeing him, what he's like out the field. But yeah, look, Killian Buckley had a tough day at the office, but at the same time, we'll give him some reprieve. He is Martin TJ Reid.
Yeah, that's the thing. You kind of let TJ read off. He was caught in possession a few times. Like James O'Connor said after the game, the first 10 minutes, there was just a relentless work rate throughout. And that was from number one all the way to 15. They just put in a remarkable work rate and came out on the right result at the end. And TJ mentioned that in his interview after the match as well, all about work rate. When you have a team that don't seem to have egos like Ballyhale and are willing to put in that work, because a lot of teams that are as brilliant as them are a little bit like, maybe iffy about that kind of work. When you marry the two of them together, you come up with the result that we got.
Yeah, but sure, look, in the first 10 minutes, we were talking off air saying it was over after 12 minutes, but like there was two scores in particular. Owen Cody dispossessed the corner back, you know, with just a lovely flick.
Yeah.
And it was Owen Reid then picked up the loose ball and fired it over the bar. And then obviously the first goal, which effectively killed the game off after 12 minutes, you know, it was Colin Fennelly, TJ Reid was in there, Owen Cody was in there. And they dispossessed, I think it was Killian Buckley coming out with the ball, and it just fell to Brian Cody, and he just obviously rifled it back in the net. But it was mad. You know, like I was texting into a group of mates that I'd be following, and knew some of them weren't watching it, and I was like, oh, the game over here after 12 minutes. And then later on in the water break, I was like, oh, look, it's 2:16 to whatever it was, 9 points or something. I said, game over. Next minute, it was like 3:16. 4:16,
yeah.
5:16, like three messages in a row, like goal, goal, goal. Like it was just unbelievable stuff.
A bit like it reminds you of the kind of Napiershik Doon final, where it just like was almost like, ah, geez, blow this up. This is cruel now at this stage. You know, there's just, yeah. it's not even. Colin Fennelly got one of the most Colin Fennelly goals you'll ever see. Like he nearly has to have a trademark on getting the ball in space, turning, bullying past his man, like running through him and throwing the ball up in front of him and scoring a kind of an unorthodox kind of finish past the goalie.
Yeah, like he's probably a real throwback to like 70s hurling, like, you know, Tony Dorn or even Christy Heffernan for Kilkenny back in the 80s as well. Like, just a big man, big unit, just can't seem to be stopped when he gets that type of ball.
Yeah.
And you know, look, and he missed. He was very disappointed with himself later on. He probably should have had another goal. It was 1-1. Good save by the keeper in fairness to him, but he was disgusted with himself for missing it. And look, all good forwards are like that. But it's mad. They threw TJ in then to full forward for, you know, maybe the last 10 minutes. And then you realise how good TJ is even inside as well. And you forget that Kilkenny used to play him there too, particularly around 2010, 2011, you know, a couple of those, or even later on, 2014. Couple of big performances of full forward he used to have as well. You know, he offers obviously something different than Colin. He's able to come out and win ball out in front and, you know, turn left or right and fire balls over the bar, whereas obviously Colin Fennelly has that just killer instinct for goals, head down, and just it takes two or three to take him down.
Yeah, right, definitely. And Owen Cody's last goal was just pure class. And they've class all over the field. It's unbelievable. What is James Connor's stamp on the team being like? I mean, I know the Richie Reid at centre back has been enforced. He had to do something like that. He had to replace Adrian Mullen. Like, the only thing I can see he shuffled around is putting Evan Shefflin into midfield. Am I right on that? Or has
yeah,
he made...
yeah. Like, look, I think you're right. But why change something that isn't broken?
Yeah.
Like, you know, why fix it? You often see teams do that. I know. I get frustrated, and I've seen our own club team do that. You know, you win a county final next year after and it's all change and certain lads have to get a chance and all this. No, that's rubbish. Like, you know, look, Kilkenny at their pomp, maybe one or two switches if lads were in form. You know, you see the same for Tipperary and Limerick. You know, sometimes if you rotate a little bit too much, and particularly at club level, you just don't have them. No disrespect to anyone. You just don't have the numbers down through when you move past 17 or 18. So, look, I think in fairness to James O'Connor, the biggest thing he had to do was keep them motivated. And he doesn't seem to have any problem from that perspective because a lot of it seems to be intrinsic.
Yeah, and like, I mean, they're up to 18 titles now. Tullerone have two. Like, I mean, they're going past Tullerone before Tullerone win another one.
Yeah, look, you said they're Tullerone of two.
Tullerone of 20, sorry, they're two off. Sorry. They've Ballyhale have 18 now. Sorry if I made a balls of that.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, too often, yeah, look, it's hard to see Tullerone get up there and challenge, but like Ballyhale seem to be getting stronger and stronger because what they have done, in fairness to them, is brought in a lot of youth. We know about their marquee players down through the centre. You know, Joey Holden, a rock at full back, Michael Fennelly's gone, Richie Reid's replaced him, then you have TJ and Colin, like they're excellent hurlers. But it's the likes of Brian Cody that's excelling. Do you know, yeah. Evan Shefflin, as you said, Ronan Corcoran, Dara Corcoran, you know, they've slot in seamlessly. I know Dara Corcoran's kind of been there, but, you know, these guys are just, you know, they're as good as any club hurlers around. And I think that's probably what keeps them above the rest at the moment. But you talked about it last week, and it's probably a big time to point again. Wouldn't we love to see a club championship? Because after seeing that from Ballyhale yesterday, and the Pearshig, I see Six Mile Bridge after their win yesterday again, they're calling for the Munster Championship to be played as well, maybe in January or February. It would have been one hell of a year for a club championship, because it seemed to be that all the kind of the real big guns, they didn't get caught in the hurling this year. You know, I know Cara Finn got caught in the football yesterday, but the big guns in the hurling all seemed to get through. So there was it actually would have lent itself to a really, really good provincial and All-Ireland series.
You wonder, looking at Dixborough, how they were double league champions there, wouldn't you? Like, I mean, they took four of their forwards off, three of them off after 33 minutes. I think is it Darren Mullen deserves a shout out as well. He put Bill Sheehan in his pocket after an early score. Like, I mean, how could a team to get to this? I know about how brilliant Ballyhale are, but like, I mean, James Stevens were able to put it up to them. Dixborough, there was no real spark or fight or, you know, there was nothing about them at all. Up front, they were completely, you know, lightweight.
Yeah, well, look, the league final, I wouldn't lay too much weight in that. You know, Ballyhale just did enough in the group stage to make sure that they qualified. And look, everyone's still in the championship in Kilkenny. I know no one wants to lose games. But, you know, they ended up playing the league final against the Loughlins, who would have played in the semi-final, and they won that after penalties after extra time. So,
yeah,
the league final doesn't, you know, it's great to win them, but it doesn't count for a whole lot in Kilkenny. It's all about championships. So we saw Ballyhale last year after being All-Ireland champions. You know what I mean? They finished, I think it was bottom of the group, and they were in relegation semi-final slash first round of the championship. And, you know, they went on to win the All-Ireland out of it. So, you know, it's just the way the Kilkenny championship is. You know, look, they didn't spark. Let's call it as it is. They are a level below, Ballyhale at the moment. Just a note on James Stevens, you're 100% right. Look, James Stevens really put it up to him. But look, that comes back maybe to, and you know, you don't want to be clamorsing people, but it does come back to the cleverness of Cheddar as manager. You know, he puts in place a system that makes it really, really difficult for the opposition to play. He prides himself on that. He's not a player to play a sweeper, you know, a dynamic sweeper that we talk about, you know, bursting up the field as well. Very hard to counteract that. So, you know, to be fair to Cheddar and what he got out of that James Stevens team, I think that was, you know, absolutely excellent. But, you know, Cheddar's always thinking and trying to think of maybe as a way of undoing that Ballyhale team. And he almost did it, you know.
No, he definitely did. Like, I mean, there's no doubt about that. We seen him slumped over the fence. It was definitely I don't know what word to use to describe it, when he was just bent over the fence. Like, the poor man was exhausted after watching that game. I think we all were. Come here, Six Mile Bridge won back-to-back titles. So Callaghan Mills, they were looking to win it for the first time since 37. One-sided final, it would have to be said. Like, I mean, interesting that Six Mile Bridge hadn't retained it since the early 90s. Like, I mean, the Clare Championship, 11, wait till you hear this stat, 11 different teams have won the Clare Championship since 2000. Like, isn't that an incredible stat? And, like, I mean, Six Mile Bridge, I think it was Cushin won back-to-back, the last ones to do it. It's just an incredibly competitive championship.
Oh, it is. And to be fair, and even if you go back into the 90s, it was an incredible competitive championship, because, you know, you had a couple of All-Ireland winners out of that, you know. You had and maybe winning Munster, you know, you had Clare Castle, you had St. Joseph's there at Byfield, you had Six Mile Bridge back then as well, you had Wolf Tones. All those teams were, you know, obviously that was on the back of the success of the Clare team in the 90s. But you're right, look, it's a brilliant championship. Callaghan Mills were in a relegation playoff last year and got from that to the county final this year. But Six Mile Bridge probably have a little bit of a stronghold on that championship at the moment. If I'm right in saying, I think they've won five out of the last eight championships.
Yeah.
As you said, it's the first time they've won it back-to-back. But look, again, we're talking about another genius as a manager. Well, he wasn't the manager, he's a coach, but Davy Fitz, his stamp is all over that team. You know, they're very, very difficult to play against. They carry the ball really, really well. The use of the distribution, you know, it doesn't matter to them if they're playing against the wind or with the wind. You know, because they use the ball really, really intelligently. And they defend in numbers. And you know, the likes of Shane Namori there is brilliant. You know, he's able to be a band marker, but he's able to get up the field as well and actually offer something going forward. So, look, that Six Mile Bridge team are excellent. It's amazing, you know, they're calling for the Munster Championship to be played, and And they're right. Like, I understand why they're looking for it, because they're probably disappointed over what happened last year, because Ballygunner went down to Six Mile Bridge last year and absolutely destroyed them, you know, and won that game comfortably enough last year. So I'd say you can understand why they're mad for Road and trying to get back and maybe redeem themselves after last year's championship.
Well, it is interesting that that you say that, because, like, I mean, Tim Crowe was talking after the game and he says, this is our fifth title in 8 years and they still get no credit. This is probably the greatest bridge team ever because they've won five titles in 8 years. The best they ever done was three titles in 10 years before. Now, I'm like, Jesus, Tim, now take off the rose tinted glasses. Like, I mean, they've won five titles in 8 years. They've made no real impression on Munster. Like, I mean, you have to take this. They won an All-Ireland club in 1996, won the Clare Championship in 92, 93 and 95. Like, I mean, are you going to try and tell me that this Six Mile Bridge team is better than the All-Ireland, Munster and three-time county champions in the space of give me a break here?
Yeah, look, I agree with you, by the way. You can see, though, look, he's just heated, I suppose, after the match. It comes back to maybe what we're talking about last week. You know, in the Pearsheik, and they're looking for, you know, a reason to be angry before the game. You know, you're looking for that agenda, yeah, to try and fire them. And I suppose that's what, from Tim's perspective, I can only imagine that's what they were doing, saying that, you know, no one's giving them respect and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, that maybe just came out in the interview.
Yeah, I
take your point. Like, they haven't done it in Munster. They simply have not. So they couldn't be. If you were to look at it without rose in the glasses, as you say, they couldn't be compared to that team that won the All-Ireland.
Yeah, no, I see where Tim's motivation is. Like, he's their manager and he's a huge loyalty to them and he wants them to get credit. But, like, I mean, don't overdo it, Tim. Like, I mean, no one's going to buy that one. you know, but, like, I mean, they're the two county finals. There was some great excitement in the Cork semi-finals. Like, I mean, Glen Rovers looked like they were in big trouble at halftime. They were 2-6-7 down to Aaron Zone, who beat my team Sarsfields in the last round. Brian, I'm a big Sarsfields man this year. Since I just read a little bit about them and came to the conclusion that I like this crowd. UCC were beaten by Blackrock after extra time, 34 points to 326, 63 scores. Ended up with a 1 point win over 80 minutes of hurling. This is the village of Blackrock versus the League of Nations of UCC.
Oh, and like, that scoring's off the charts, isn't it? Look, I know Páirc Uí Chaoimh lends itself to that. It's a real, you know, the pitch is obviously much improved than what it was over the last couple of years, but it's real open spaces, and, you know, that's, it probably lends itself. And that, I think it's the nature of Cork hurling as well. And you hear a lot of Cork people give out about maybe the openness of Cork hurling, and, you know, there's a lot of freeze given, and it lends itself that it's stop-start nature. But, you know, look, I can't comment on the weekend because I didn't see either of the games. But, you know, it's a big, big chance for Blackrock. Like, that's a massive win to actually beat UCC. As you said, League of Nations, they're all to call on the likes of Cormac Boylan after winning the county final last week in the Pearsheik, yeah, along with another, you know, a couple of other county stars. And, you know, you're talking Conway from Kerry, and, you know, I know Paddy Cadell was... that's Mark Coleman. You're talking Paddy Cadell, I know, was down there as well. I'm not sure if he played at the weekend, but, you know, like, they're at the call on those players. It's a tough one. You can see why some people are for it and some people are against it. Personally, I don't think they should be in it, but look, it's their championship and they can do what they want.
Here's the thing about that, though, Brian, right? So Tom Kenny was talking afterwards. He says, we got 34 points. He's the UCC manager. We got 34 points today. We probably needed one goal chance, but these guys have been fantastic. A lot of them have won two Fitzgibbon Cup medals and have distinguished careers ahead of them. And I was thinking, like, I don't know whether, because, like, I loved Sigerson Cup, and, you know, obviously, in turn, would put a huge stock in Fitzgibbon Cup because, you know, once you've played it, you have a huge opinion of it. Are they overrated? Here's Blackrock, who, haven't won the Cork Championship since 2002, were beaten by Imakili 3 years ago in the county final. You know, not the best team in Cork, but one of the better teams, beating UCC. Like, we're not talking that this is Ballyhale Shamrocks beating UCC. This is, you know, one of the top four or five teams in Cork beating it. Like, are we overplaying how good the colleges are?
No, because if you remember, there's a simple thing there where, like, Shane Kingston is in hurling, Darragh Fitzgibbon, you know, so they're playing senior hurling in Cork, so then they can't play with UCC. But if you're playing intermediate or junior, you know what I mean, you can play with UCC. So I suppose they don't have the exact same team that would have played in the Fitzgibbon. You know, and some lads won't make themselves available when they're playing with other counties. Maybe if they're on a scholarship, they have to. But, you know, you know, sometimes they could be injured or carrying knocks or in with the county or whatever, and they're not released. So, you know, yeah, there is, I suppose, a lot of other factors at play. But, you know, if that UCC team that lined out in the Fitzgibbon final had their full team, it'd be very hard to see that team stopped in club championship.
You know? Yeah, okay. I'm glad you said that there, because you've definitely corrected me there. Like, it is a situation where players won't make themselves available, and it's very hard for them to train with all the commuting, yes, and everything. So they're probably just, yeah, throwing the team together, you know. And it, like you say, it's not their full team.
No, it's not. And, you know, it's hard to get a run on it, you know, that kind of way from their perspective. And look, it is all about the Fitzgibbon. And you know, certain players won't have the same respect or grow for that, the Cork Championship. You know, if you're from Tipperary, you're from Kilkenny, it'd be nice to win it. But, you know, it's not going to be your burning ambition to say that you won a Cork Championship. You know,
so
you know, and if you're maybe borderline with the Tipperary panel or Kilkenny panel, and you know, maybe they've trained, and it might be at this particular moment, but you know, in general years, you know, and or they have a league game coming up or something like that, you know, you're going to go with your county first, because you're not going to bite off the hand of Fiji from that perspective.
Yeah.
On the other side, Glen Rovers, in fairness to them, I saw some of this. They showed massive fight to come back into that. You know, Patrick Horgan with 14 points, but it's a lot more than just Patrick Horgan. I know he hits headlines and he's class, don't get me wrong, but Glen Rovers have a very, very solid team. You know, they have good hurlers all over the field, and they showed a massive amount of resolve to come back, because they were really under pressure in that first half.
Well, in a weird glitch of the Cork Championship, like, I mean, Glen Rovers hadn't played in a month, because they had topped their group and went straight into the semis, whereas Aaron's Own had beaten my team Sarsfields in the last round, and they had bridged that time. And it seems very unfortunate on Glen Rovers that they won their first three games in the group handy and then had a month off. So they were complete sitting ducks, really. Like, they hadn't been tested and coming up against a team who had.
Yeah, and look, that's an anomaly that I suppose a lot of championships, not just the Cork Championship, have. You know, if you top your group, you go straight to a semi-final. And, you know, we often see that, you know, you see the Munster teams whinging about that over the last number of years, that, you know, they win Munster and it's doing them harm and going to another semi-final, and never bothered Kilkenny when they won Leinster. But,
yeah,
you know, look, I think it's not ideal having a month off. You'd rather be playing, you know, every 2 weeks, I suppose. But I suppose it's something that you know what you're getting into. If your team is well prepared and you're training hard, and maybe you maybe get one practice match or something in between, you can really use that month to your advantage.
That's a difficult one again with the dual counties that play a week on, a week off. So the week off then was the week the other teams played off to get into the semis. Then you had football week, and then that's where the month went. So, you know, it probably isn't easy, but I do agree. I don't see how it. Why not just have every team going into the semi-finals after the same, you know, at the same rate?
Yeah.
There must be a way of doing that. I don't actually.
Well, you're probably better off putting all teams into the quarterfinal and having them seeded. You know, it's a much better system.
Yeah, that is, especially when at club level, when you're going a week on, a week off, and then suddenly you're out for 4 weeks, and you think that's supposed to be an advantage. If they were going with the split season, you know, you would like the 2 week break, whereas the other team would have to play every week. You know, it's not an advantage if you're playing a week on, a week off, if you get me.
No, exactly.
What's going on? St. Rhinas have Burr's number completely in Offaly. Like, I mean, this is a complete turnaround.
Yeah, and look, Burr kind of, the same old hauntings came back. You know, they just didn't find the scores in the second half. They only got 5 points in the second half. 17 points overall, only 4 points in play.
Jeez.
You know, and they had chances. You know, that's probably where they're kicking themselves today. You know, they had a couple of really easy point scoring opportunities. Owen Cal's radar was off a little bit on the freeze. You know, he's usually, you know, 10 out of 10 free taker, and just missed a couple of hard ones. And then obviously then he missed a couple that he really should have been scoring. So Burren missed their chances, where the other end of the field, Rhinus just kept plugging away. They had a lot of experience to come in off the bench. You know, they brought in Dermot Horn. He's been away in the States for a number of years, came back for last year's county final. You know, and he came on again yesterday and set up the goal. So, you know, Rhinus just have a really, really solid team. They know what they're about. They've, you know, over the last 10 years in Offaly, Cullerry have won 4, Kilcormacullachie have won 4, Rhinus have won 2. So you can see where the powerhouses were in Offaly over the last number of years. And the two best teams have got to the final, there's no doubt about it. Kilcormacullachie on Saturday beat Belmount, and they were cruising for nearly all that game. Belmount got a late goal, and next minute it was helter-skelter for the last couple of minutes, and there was a few minutes played of additional time. So it ended up being a flurry of a finish, but for like 57 minutes of that game, Kilcormacalotti were in total control. So I think we're in for a really good final. Kilcormacalotti have transitioned well. You know, a couple of their older players are now maybe bit part players and being used for their experience, like the Jor Helian, Kieran Sleven. And they still have some of them playing, the likes of Conor Matton and Damien Kilmartin, but they've blended a couple of nice young players. Like Kilcormacalotti are the real powerhouse in Offaly hurling at the moment. Underage, they're completely dominant at all age groups. Maybe the only ones that are troubling them at all at underage would be Ballinamere. That'd be Michael Dignan's adopted club. You know, they're up there outside Tullamore, very proud hurling county. You know, they've won a minor now in under 21 over the last number of years. So at underage, they're the only ones that are maybe consistently coming up against Kilcormac. So Kilcormac look like their juggernaut is going to continue for a number of years, to be fair. But as I said, this final, Rhinus, they are county champions, but they still have to do it against a big powerhouse like Kilcormac or Coolerry in a county final over the last number of years. So it lends itself to a really good county final there.
All right, okay, so you've set that up well. In Laois, before we go, Rosanella's dream is over. They obviously knocked Camaras out and beat Boris Kilcotton in the group stage. They lost to Clock Ballacolla convincingly enough in the end. And Boris Kilcotton beat Rathdowney, who are defending champions. So it's going to be a Clock Ballacolla versus Boris Kilcotton final. Funny enough, Camaras going out so early this year, Brian. Interesting enough. And Rosanella's up from intermediate running amok. So there have been a few surprises.
A few surprises, because like, even you go to that first game, Ballinakill were comfortably beating Rosanellis. Rosanellis somehow got a draw of it. Rosanellis get to the county semi-final. Ballinakill end up getting relegated. You know, they lost to Castletown at the weekend. Now, not Ballinakill wouldn't have been troubling for a county final, but you know the point I'm making. Yeah, there. Yeah. You know, it can be small margins. The thing about like Rathdowney Earl, it staggers belief with them, because we played them in a practice match a couple of weeks ago and they were playing a sweeper. And of all people who play in a sweeper,
Paddy Bloody Purcell, yeah.
Paddy Purcell. And you're like Rathdowney, do you realise how good you are? Like, I don't think they do. Like, they have an unbelievable team. You know, Ross King, Mark Kavanagh, Paddy Purcell, you know, really good hurlers, Joe Fitz, and really, really good team if they actually just believe themselves in a little bit more and went for it. Put Paddy Purcell in midfield and just let him go. You know, I couldn't believe it that day we played them, and I just thought they're really.
He did it at the weekend as well against Boris Kilcotton. I was reading the match report and I was going, "Ah, you're trying to be too clever there now. That's stupid."
Yeah, no, I have to say I agree, and I couldn't believe it, because they're robbing Peter to pay Paul by doing that, because it even the day we played them, and I know it's only a practice match, so you don't read too much into it, but I just thought they're not getting anywhere near enough out of Paddy Purcell. You know?
Yeah.
And like, because he's excellent. Like, to me, Paddy Purcell he's the one player who can step up, well, maybe a couple more, but he really could step up to any intercounty team. He's top class.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a weird one.
Boris Kilcotton are coming. We have to give him some credit. You know, they have a really solid team as well. This is their fourth final. They've probably flattered to deceive a little bit. Ken Hogan was over them for their only win a couple of years ago. He had that experience to get them over the line. They really need to do it. But again, we actually played Clock Ballacolla as well in the practice match a couple of months ago at this stage. I thought they were really good shape. They're a really solid team. The Willie Hyland out midfield, he was, you know, offering a lot of experience out there. Picky Mars on form. So, you know, they have really good hurlers all over the field as well. So that's another really good county final.
No, it definitely will be. Come here, Brian, we'll leave it there.
No worries, Willie. Thanks a million.
All right, great stuff from Brian there. Right, we'll be back on Thursday and we'll preview the club action at the weekend. We're getting close enough to the county season. It's coming soon. We've two more county final weekends to come before we get into the inter-county season and split out the shows. So we'll talk to you on Thursday. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.